It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where it was told us that. Some people think this book is so mysterious it can't be understood. But from the very start, it tells us it's a revelation. It gives us a picture of the Lord Jesus that the Bible would be incomplete without this picture. Now, the last the world saw the Lord Jesus was when they took him down from the cross and put him in the grave. The world did not see him after that. But this book tells us, as we get farther into the book in the first two chapters, verse 3, how the world is going to see him again. In fact, it's mentioned in verse 7 here that he's going to come with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierce him. And all the tribes of the land shall wail because of him. Now, this is not what we are looking for in first life. We are looking for the Lord to come in the clouds to raise the dead in Christ and to catch us who are alive, belong to him, up together with him in clouds to meet him in the air. But after the tribulation, he comes back, and he comes back in this character. And if we don't see that, we're going to have a very confused picture. Now, wait, something else about Revelation. It's a revelation which God gave to him. God wanted him to be known in this way, and to make himself known in this way. And it's not for the world in general, it's for his bondmen, his servants. And if you're not a Christian, don't expect to understand the revelation. For those who are not Christians, it's a scary book if they can understand anything from it. But for us who are who belong to the Lord, it's a wonderful picture. And you know, it's a book that I so often enjoyed. I've often mentioned this, that when I was a kid, going to the library, I loved books, and I would open the book and look toward the end, how does it come out? It came out right, I wanted to take it home with me. And I would sometimes have a stack like this in my bicycle basket, or under my arm. But this book shows us that things are going to come out right for the believers, because the Lord Jesus is going to have his rightful place. And it gives a special interest for the Word of God. And then it's to show his bondmen and his servants what must shortly take place. Now, over 1900 years have passed since this book was written. So the time is a lot shorter now than it was then. And you know, God doesn't write in time the way we do, but he tells us here the shortening take place. And something else, he signified it. This book is written in symbolic language. It's not written to that every event is to be taken literally, but the symbols are explained in the rest of the Bible. Brother R. K. Campbell, who's written a book on the first chapters of this, was where I lived when I was a very young brother in North Carolina. And he gave me a series of talks on the chart from eternity to eternity. And as he got to the end of that, one young brother down there said to him, expressed his appreciation, said, "This is really good. You've got to come back in about 4 months and give us 2 weeks on Revelation." Brother Campbell wisely said, "I'm not going to do that. You're not ready for that. If you want to really understand the Revelation, because it's written in symbolic language, most of the symbols are in the Old Testament." And he said, "You've got to understand somewhat of of the 65 books that precede Revelation before you can expect to fully understand Revelation. You're not ready for that yet. And it's something that's stuck with me. It's been a great help to me to realize that the new symbols that come up in the Revelation are explained on the spot. But the old symbols, go back to Daniel, go back to Ezekiel, go back to other parts of the Old Testament, and you'll find that. So, I don't want to lecture here. I think it's good that if those of us who take part remember that if we're standing by a mic, it doesn't mean that it's not the ministry.
I'd like to follow that up, though. In the thought of what this book, Brother Eugene mentioned Daniel, and the understanding of the Old Testament, really, to understand the book of Revelation, the prophecy that's there, it's helpful, and it also explains prophecy from the Old Testament, as in Daniel, for example. But one of the things that I found very striking is the instruction that was given to Daniel, for instance, in chapter 12 of Daniel, in verse 4, Daniel was told, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." And he was told to shut up the book. He was told to seal it. But when we come to the book of Revelation, particularly John was told in chapter 22, I think this is instructive for us to see the heart of God in the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to us in Revelation chapter 22. We read in verse 10 that John was given the opposite instruction as Daniel. John was given the instruction, and he said to me, "Do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for time is at hand." So how beautiful to see that God's intention is what was shut up in the Old Testament. What was shut up to a certain degree in Daniel's day concerning prophecy is now revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus. Why did it have to be shut up? Because the Lord Jesus hadn't come yet. Now he's come. Now he's been, we would say, crucified, buried, and risen, and seated. And now the revelation of him who is to come in that coming day, which we believe is very soon, is revealed here. And so, how beautiful to have that as a background, to see that God's heart is to not hide anything from us. When we think of that, we think of Abraham. Shall I hide from Abraham the things that I'm about to do? What was Abraham called? A friend of God. And so God would say to my friend, and what are we? We're more than friends. We're the bride, aren't we? So how beautiful. He says, I don't want to hide anything. I want to reveal